If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Traitor state of Indiana, where Obama's ideals are not espoused, comes the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show as a means to tell all you liberals out there that you are wrong and we are right. My name is Kathy Henners, and you're listening to Hour One of the show, where we do what we do best, tell you what the government is doing to this great nation with Obama and his minions. We're showing you ways to stop them by following the true law of the land, the Constitution. And now, heard through ConservativeNationMedia.com, here is your host from behind the silver CNN microphone of freedom with the voice of reason in this unreasonable world, Robert Garding.
Yeah, thank you, Kathy. Last week at the end of my show, I got a phone call that called on me to stop supporting Governor Rick Perry because he supports the Texas corridor, which the guy said was a plan to give up some of Texas to a foreign country. I couldn't comment on this because I knew nothing about it, and that I had to do some research on it. He gave me some links, which I went to, and I researched it, and here's what I found. From the corridor, from the corridorwatch.com came this, and it says, what is the Texas corridor? The Trans-Texas Corridor, the TTC, is not one but several all-Texas one-quarter-mile-wide corridors that are planned to include toll roads for passenger vehicles, trucks, passenger bullet trains, commuter trains, high-speed freight trains, pipelines of all types, and electrical transmission towers. Doesn't sound like it's being given to another country. Plans also include gas stations, garages, restaurants, hotels, stores, billboards, warehouses, freight interchange, intermodal transfer areas, passenger train stations, bus stations, parking facilities, dispatch control centers, maintenance facilities, pipeline pumping stations, and, of course, toll facilities. The Trans-Texas Corridor is the largest engineering project ever proposed for Texas. The corridor will far exceed any public works project in the state's history. This statewide network is a priority corridors will stretch 4,000 miles and measure up to 1,200 feet wide. Each section of the corridor will contain 12-foot passenger vehicle lanes for 80-mile-an-hour traffic, 112 feet in aggregate width with shoulders, 4 13-foot truck lanes, 84 feet in aggregate width with shoulders, 2 tracks for 200-mile-per-hour high-speed passenger rail. All depots are contained within the corridor. 2 tracks for 80-mile-per-hour commuter passenger rail, 2 tracks for 80-mile-per-hour freight rail, a 200-foot utility zone for large underground water lines, natural gas and petroleum pipelines, telecommunication cables, and overhead high-voltage electrical transmission lines, operational maintenance zones, safety zones sufficient to accommodate future roadway expansion. It sounds like there's the possibility of a lot of employment there, actually. Welcome to the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show this 15th of March. And as I said last week, the Ides of March has already passed by quite a bit now, and we are into the second weekend of daylight savings time. My wife hates it. She just can't stand it because it makes her feel tired all the time. Me, it never has bothered me too much. I grew up in states with it, and when daylight savings time finally arrives, that means to me winter is over, even though the weather doesn't sometimes act like it. It is warming up here finally. Finally. Returning back to the subject of the Texas corridor, here is the rest of what I found. 4 priority corridors have been identified. These corridors parallel I-35, I-37, I-69 proposed from Denison to Rio Grande Valley. I-69 proposed from Texarkana to Houston to Laredo. I-45 from Dallas-Fort Worth to Houston. I-10 from El Paso to Orange. The priority corridors account for about half of the total 8,000 miles of Trans-Texas Corridor. In addition to Texas DOT private sector analysis, will identify other corridors for immediate development and future investment. Texas DOT or the private sector will develop the other corridors as segment becomes more necessary. The typical corridor section will require 146 acres of right-of-way per mile. The total anticipated right-of-way for 4,000 miles of priority corridor is 584,000 acres. Based on an estimated cost of $31.4 million per centerline mile, the 4,000-mile corridor will cost $125.5 billion, not including right-of-way and miscellaneous costs. Factoring in right-of-way at $11.7 billion and $38 billion in miscellaneous costs at $8 billion to $20 billion, the estimated total cost for the Texas Trans-Texas Corridor ranges from $145.2 billion to $183.5 billion. Note, the based on the February 2007 audit of Texas DOT, the TTC and the TTC, the actual cost of the entire TTC could exceed $754 billion. No major land acquisition in metropolitan areas is required. The Texas DOT plan states that they need to move quickly in developing the corridor segments that will generate the highest toll level revenue that will enable them to extend the corridor into every section of the state. The vision is that the corridor will be developed in phases through several scenarios. For example, the heavy-duty truck lanes, two in each direction, could be built first to be shared initially by both passenger vehicles and trucks. As traffic volume increases and additional capacity is warranted, separate passenger lanes will be constructed. The rail component also lends itself to phased construction. Construction of the high-speed passenger rail to connect the largest population areas will be implemented as the need grows for travel alternatives. The Texas DOT plan anticipates that they could lease undeveloped sections of the corridor back to adjacent landowners. Connection between the corridor and the nearby cities will be accomplished with the existing highway system. Proposed corridor segments will require interconnection with additional modes of transportation to enable passengers and freight to reach their final destinations in nearby cities. Privately funded franchises or public-private partnerships will provide transportation from the corridor to destination cities. These corridor connections will create investment opportunities for public and private partnerships, utility companies, and privately funded franchises interested in providing utility lines, intermodal freight transfer facilities, and passenger facilities as strategically located access points. All roadways, including unpaved county roads, rails, streams intersecting corridor, are assumed to be grade separated. Most crossings will be handled by simple grade separations bridge structures. These allow existing local highway and rail facilities to cross the corridor but not access it. The grade separations may provide for farm-to-market highways to two-lane highways, state highways, rail lines, and paved county roads. The corridor may cut through about 1,200 unpaved county roads. These roads will be reconnected to other facilities to maintain efficient traffic flow. DOT will endeavor to assist counties in rebuilding any important intra-county routes affected by the corridor. Double diamond interchanges will be used where corridor intersects a highway serving a significant regional traffic base. These interchanges will provide access to and from the corridor and the crossing facility. Double diamond interchanges will be necessary for about 60% of all state highways and 80% of all U.S. highways intersecting the corridor. The law adopted in 2005 expanded the connectivity to include all state and U.S. highways intersecting the corridors. Directional interchanges will be used where a corridor segment intersects a major highway serving cross-state traffic. Most of the traffic from both the corridors and crossed highway facilities will need an interchange between these intersecting routes. Direct connection interchanges will be provided at all 23 locations where the corridor intersects itself, at all state highways intersecting the corridor and U.S. highways. Now, I've been saying here that for several years on how bad things are getting, but when things like this don't get any press and people come up and start saying that we're giving land away to foreign countries, what they need to do is to read into this, like I did, instead of coming on to a show and saying that we're giving away land to a foreign country, read up on it. I mean, you gave the man who gave me this information gave me the sites I got this information from. If he'd have read it, there was nothing in there about giving land to another country. America is still the freest country on earth, and for those of us who love America, know that the Constitution is a reason for our liberties. ConservativeNationMedia.com isn't going to let those leftists in D.C. take our freedom away, and our constitutional expert, Matthew Opalisky, is leading the charge. Join Matthew every Thursday night at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 Central, for the Liberty and Constitutional Community to learn about our rights and freedoms under the greatest governing document of all time and what you can do to protect your liberty under the Bill of Rights. The Constitution, the Liberty and Constitutional Community with Matthew Opalisky, Thursdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 Central on ConservativeNationMedia.com, where America always wins, and there are always reasons why an increasing number of people are classified. Oh, okay. Well, this is part of my next story here. There are many reasons why an increasing number of people are classified as obese. Now, racism could be one of them. Frequent experiences of racism are associated with a higher risk of obesity among African-American women, a new study claims. Scientists found that women who were more frequently victimized for their race were more likely to be obese. Okay, now I guess we're going to have another thing that's going to blame us all for something else that's bad. The study by Sloan Epidemiology Center at Boston University found the relationship between racism and obesity was the strongest among women who reported consistently high experience of racism over a 12-year period. The research was based on the Black Women's Health Study, which enrolled 59,000 African-American women in 1995 and has followed them since. While rates of obesity in the U.S. has risen rapidly over the past few decades, the greatest increases have been seen in African-American women, half of whom are currently classified as obese. Obesity is a risk factor for numerous health conditions, including cardiovascular disease, type 2 diabetes, and orthopedic problems. Scientists said that racism is a form of psychosocial stress that African-Americans experience disproportionately. It is thought that experiences of racism contribute to obesity. Data suggests that chronic exposure to stress can result in dysregulation of important neuroendocrine functions, interactions between the nervous and endocrine systems. I don't think I have that right. ENDOCRINE, which influence the accumulation of the excess body fat. I don't even know what to say about this. What do you think? I have already told you that I think it's absolute nonsense. I mean, we've had fat people all our lives, and if I remember back, there are certain races that seem to have more heavier people than other races. I guess so we have to kind of wait and see what comes out of this one. Tip of the hat to Weasel Zippers on for that one. We will be right back.
80 million voters can pull the wrong lever, and it's still the wrong lever.
As I went through school, one giant question loomed over me. What did I want to be? But in order to know what I wanted to be, I had to first decide what I wanted to make. I wanted to make more. So I became a teacher. Now I make learning a privilege, not a chore. And frustration, a tool, not an obstacle. I make working hard seem easy, and giving up, impossible. I make an old subject feel like a fresh thought, and unconventional methods common. I make material things less important, and little things like patience and kindness count. I make weekdays more exciting than weekends, and classrooms feel like anything but. I make things different, which is all I ever hoped for. I'm a teacher. I make more.
Find out how you can make more at teach.org. Make more. Teach. Brought to you by Teach and the Ad Council.
On the next episode of Recipes for Disaster.
So we've got our neighbor Paul coming over tonight for a barbecue, which is why I prepared a delicious lemon rosemary steak marinade from my special collection of old family recipes. To make sure the steaks are extra, extra, extra tender, I left them marinating out on the counter overnight, just like Nana used to.
Maria may mean well, but without food safety, it never ends well. Always thaw or marinate foods in the refrigerator at 40 degrees Fahrenheit or below, or you could make your friends and family really sick. Maria's neighbor Paul didn't think twice about the steak he ate until he was presenting his company's financial forecast to the board. That's when a sudden bout of food poisoning made it explicitly clear that profits weren't the only thing on the rise. Watch Recipes for Disaster at foodsafety.gov. You'll learn the right steps as Maria does everything wrong. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.
It seems that the president will never be satisfied till Americans do everything he wants us to do. In September of 2013, he told us, and I quote, "You'll be able to purchase high-quality health insurance for less than the cost of your cell phone bill." Okay, remember this one? This was back in September of 2013. But in March of 2014, this month, he now suggests that household expenses such as cell phone bills in order to afford health care. Don't you people realize that when you voted this moron into office, and I hate calling the president that, but when he seems to think that we are so dumb that we can't access what he said last year on the same subject, and he's saying something completely 180 degrees out of phase on this, and he expects us to believe this too, he's nothing more than what I just called him. Don't you realize that when we voted him into office, he was going to do this? He told us from the get-go, from the very beginning, he was going to fundamentally change America because this country was broken and arrogant and so full of itself that it had to be brought down a notch or two so that we weren't so superior to the rest of the world. My question to you people who are still following him down this road to ruin is, how far down the tunnel does this so-called monarch of ours have to lead this country before you realize that Obama is not good for this country or for the American people in general? I think that the American people have always been smart, but very slow on the uptake in realizing bad things really do happen to people. And the bad part about all this is that during the time we are running around thinking the world is great, things are falling around us like the crumbling of the Berlin Wall after Reagan told Gorbachev to tear down this wall. And the sadness of this is that not only is the wall being torn down with Obama's policies, but so is the American Constitution. The Americans, the American know-how in supplying the world with goods and things American ingenuity and American morale in their place is being put in their place, a nation of do-nothings, know-nothings, and a bunch of lemmings that will follow rather than lead in a time when the world needs a leader. After World War II, when America and her allies had won everything, we didn't do what most empires of the world had done before. We didn't dominate the world by taking the conquered countries over, making them ours by enforcing our laws on them and making them subjects of America. No, we didn't do that. We went in and helped these nations to rebuild and become great nations that they wanted to be. Then we let them run their own countries with their own laws and their own traditions, not like the empires that had always been in the past who imposed their laws and their rules on conquered countries. And yet, we have idiots in Washington like Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid and Barack Obama who delight in telling us that we are arrogant and have forced our will on the people of the world, and because of that we deserve to be brought down a few notches so that the world can see us as the arrogant country who has fallen from our perch on high. Folks, we haven't fallen. We were brought down, just like Stalin said we would, from within. And no one is saying much about it when our president comes out and says something one day and the next comes out and says just the opposite and shows us his agenda of lies. My question on this is, when are we going to stand up and shout out that he is lying when he says something that goes totally against what he has promised us before? As long as we do not question when the event happens, as long as our reporters continue to just report what he says and not bringing up what he didn't say, that he didn't say that before, he will continue to lie to us and then believe that he is doing just what we need, just what he said he would, with no consequences to his actions. My friends, if we had been doing this from the beginning, he would have never been president. He would have never instituted his affordable care act on us, and he would never have had the chance to fundamentally change America, and he would have disappeared into the trash bin of history where he belongs, and no one would remember him as the first so-called black president. My friends, I have many friends who are black, and they are ashamed to admit that the first black president of their color to be in the White House has all but destroyed the integrity of that office. And they know, just as us conservatives know, that it's going to take a good while to get that integrity back after he is gone, if it can be gotten back at all. I have to say this now before I get too angry to say it later. Folks, when are we going to stand up and realize that when it comes to what is good for this country, the members of the Democrat-held Senate, the ones on the left, are wrong, and we are right. I say this every freaking week. Why aren't we asserting this fact to the likes of Reid and Pelosi? Why do we let Harry Reid say stupid things like, quote, are saying, people who are saying that Obamacare has hurt them are liars, without saying anything to stop him from saying these things when he says them? Easily obtained, the evidence is, you know, the evidence is there. It's easily obtained. So why do the reporters of our media not question on the spot instead of doing their so-called jobs and just reporting what the liberal left is saying? My idea on this is we need not only replace anyone in our government who will not adhere to the Constitution and the real laws of this land, but we also need to get the media replaced with a new media that will question when a lie is being told, that will question when things are not being done as they were promised, no matter who says it, no matter what side of the aisle the lie comes from. That is the reason why blogs exist. That is the reason why networks such as Conservative Nation Media exist. That is why the EIB exists and the Blaze Network exists, why Fox became a force for this nation. But no matter what, they are not going far enough. They have to question when the event happens. When Barack Obama said this month that, quote, if you look at their cable bill, their telephone, their cell phone bill, it may turn out that it's just they haven't prioritized health care. If a family member gets sick, the father will wish he had paid for that $300 a month. Then we need to stand up and tell the president that we could afford health care just fine before he came along, and he is lying about what he is saying. And the proof of that is he told us in September that we would be able to purchase high-quality health insurance for less than the cost of your cell phone bill. Now he's telling us we need to get rid of the cell phones in order to be able to afford health care. We need to start telling him that he lied from the very get-go, and we are holding him accountable for his many, many, many lies, period. The time is way past for us to start doing this. It's just like AlanWest.com said, perhaps we should take away Obama's cell phone and PIN while we're at it, so the politicized executive orders will stop. Obama is trying to convince Americans that the unaffordability of the Affordable Care Act isn't his fault. It's the fault of the states run by those rascally Republicans that won't expand Medicaid. And it's the fault of those selfish, irresponsible folks who'd rather have cable and cell phones. If you like your iPhone, you can't keep it, period. It's like I've said, the Affordable Care Act should have been called the Affordable Care Act. More appropriate, don't you think, President? At least to me, that is what it should be called, not the Affordable Care Act, but the Affordable Care Act, because it is a fraud perpetrated on the American people. Nothing more, nothing less. But it seems that the people of the United States and the people in Congress and the people holding office around the nation, even if they disagree with Obama, are scared to death of him because they won't say anything. The media won't say anything. They're scared to death of him too, probably because he'd come after them if they started doing something like that. But if enough people rose up and started talking about it, he couldn't come after all of us. He may try, but he wouldn't succeed. And if he did try, somebody would throw him out of the White House. He wouldn't last that long, I don't think. But I guess that's neither here nor there, since we don't have too many people in our media or our government who has the gonads enough to question him when he says something stupid. Heck, they don't even question Harry Reid when he tells the American people that the ones who have been saying that the Affordable Care Act isn't doing them any good are liars. What happened to the Americans that I grew up with, who, if you were called a liar, you would take affront to that? I really don't know. I think they've disappeared here because it seems like everybody just doesn't care anymore. If they're liars, they're liars. Doesn't matter, doesn't care, doesn't seem to matter to anybody anymore. But it bothers me to no end to have Harry Reid, who doesn't know a single thing about anything he talks about, call me a liar. I don't like that, and I will question him every time I get a chance. Sadly, I live too far away from him to be able to come right up and say, Mr. Reid, you're calling me a liar? I think that you're the one who is the liar. We will return after these messages. Just when you think you've heard everything, those leftists in D.C. pull something else. Isn't that the truth? They pull something else every freaking day. They're going to keep on doing it until we, the people, run them out of town on the rail. And folks, that really is our only option anymore. But what about in the meantime? what are you going to do to protect your family, your property, and your sacred rights as an American when the left-wingers try to redistribute food and who knows what else in the name of social justice? Don't wait for the left to turn our world upside down. Get ready now. Make sure that you can provide for your family in an emergency by going to the Patriot Depot, America's best-known warehouse for all your patriotic gear and survival needs. Just go to our website, conservativenationmedia.com, and click on the Patriot Depot banner. You'll find everything from emergency food supplies to the patriotic gear you'll need today and in the future. That's Patriot Depot at conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins.
Americans have known Tennessee as the volunteer state since the War of 1812. Now, Tennessee is leading the way in another major conflict, the war to keep America's identity, values, and freedoms intact. Even if you've never walked in Memphis or hiked the Blue Ridge Mountains, if you respect traditional American values, you should know about the Tennessee Action Council. Tennessee Action Council fights to preserve American values, defend our way of life, and protect the U.S. Constitution. This isn't just Tennessee's battle. It affects every American who loves our country and wants to pass the real America, unstained by progressive liberalism, along to future generations. No matter where you are in this magnificent country of ours, Tennessee Action Council is on your side and on America's side. Go to tn4action.com. That's TN, the number 4, action.com, to volunteer for Tennessee and America. That's TN, the number 4, action.com, to stand for America now.
Every 20 seconds, another kid drops out of school.
If we do nothing, 3.5 million kids won't receive a diploma over the next 4 years. United Way knows that kids who have a caring adult in their life are more likely to make it. And the difference between a dropout and a graduate could be you. Take the pledge to volunteer now at UnitedWay.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Hello, I'm Jennifer Meadows, your host on Grit and Grace. Please join us every Tuesday night from 10 to 12 Eastern for an honest look at the top political and cultural issues that are affecting Americans today. That's Grit and Grace for conservative analysis that is smart and entertaining. Tuesdays, 9 to 11 p.m. Central, 10 to 12 Eastern on conservativenationmedia.com.
It has been a while since I talked of Muslim Brotherhood and their invasion of this nation through the same type of lies and deceptions that President Obama uses on us. Well, I found more on this insipid and encroaching disease that is now infecting this nation with its policies and unideals. From Daily Roll Call comes this one, simply entitled, Common Core's Other Agenda, Part 1. What a shocker. The U.S. Department of Education will be overseeing the assessment test design for the new national standards. So the government is involved. The federal government will be dictating your child's education and, in effect, whitewashing any truth of anything you have ever taught your children. Who is the driving force behind the scenes? Where does the real template for Common Core come from? Among the most talked about is Arne Duncan and Bill Gates, but what about the not-so-talked about? In August of 2013, Arne Duncan, the Secretary of Education, and Sal Khan of Khan Academy participated in a Google Hangout where Duncan praised innovators such as Khan, stating, like Khan Academy, the Department of Education is continuing to work to innovate in education and secure that the next generation can have all the educational opportunities they deserve. Sal Khan, founder of the Khan Academy, and that's Khan, K-H-A-N, is an American-born Muslim who developed a website that, quote, allows anyone anywhere to take over 4,500 individual classes online free of charge across disciplines and academic grade levels. Khan Academy courses have allowed millions of individuals to learn something new, unquote. Duncan believes this is the new way of learning, unlike the Neanderthal ways of the past. Khan seems to be the hot new ticket, as he and the Bank of America have partnered to offer online classes on financial matters. Khan is also the author of the One World Schoolhouse, which Khan believes is a virtual extension of his philosophy. Khan has been named the number 91 Muslim hero, according to website www.muslimheroes.org, where he joins the ranks of Sihaj Wahaj Ahmed Bedir, Zahra Bilu, and several other Muslims known for their radical and sometimes terrorist organization connections. Khan's is just one area the U.S. Department of Education is experimenting with in using the Internet to teach your children. But it gets even more scary. And I've just noticed I have a phone call at the 812 area code. Hello.
Hello there, Mr. Garding.
How are you today?
Doing fine, sir. It's a beautiful day down here in southern Indiana, as you may call it.
Oh, okay. It's pretty nice here in central Indiana, too.
Okay. That's right. You're a little bit north of me. You made some good points about education, and ultimately, we as parents, I have two children, we are responsible for monitoring what happens in their schools. And, for example, for the past 5 or so years, I have not let them get immunizations because I don't believe in thimerosal. That's a mercury additive being given to my kids. So we just use a religious exemption every year, and there's never any trouble at all. And then my daughter is in the sixth grade, and the first thing she brought home in January was some fluffy book about Martin Luther King, which was a one-sided portrayal of this man, whose real name, as you probably know, was Michael King, Jr. He never changed it legally. And this book neglected his communist activities, his philandering, his cheating, his using of whores, et cetera. And these are things I can't even describe to my daughter being in the sixth grade. So I just wrote to the teacher. I said, I want a religious exemption. I said, our church does not allow the instruction of so-called black history. And within, you know, within like 2 hours, she folded like a lawn chair and said that my daughter could go to the library and pick a book out about any American.
Yeah, we've had a thing here. I think it was a year ago or two, something like that, when Obama first was really trying to push his ideals on everybody. They had a thing in our schools where our at the time, sixth grader was supposed to watch a video given by Barack Obama, and me and her mom forbade her to do that, and the school went ahead and did it anyway. And we raised all kinds of heck on that one, and they backed down, but the damage was already done, so we had to reteach our young one about what is going on and why Obama's wrong.
Right. Well, I mean, it's ridiculous that I have to tell a sixth grader, my daughter, who's 12 years old, about what whores are and what prostitutes are and what philandering is. These are things I don't even want to tell her about. And this is their hero. Their hero. And his FBI files are frozen from the public until the year 2027. So,
yeah.
I mean, that's just one example. I watch everything that goes through the schools. I meet with the teachers if I need to, and when I do meet with them, I tell them up front that I have a master's degree in education because I want them to be able to see that I'm on the same level as them, because a lot of these teachers think they're like on a pedestal, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, they think they're, since they're the ones who are teaching our children, they think that they're way higher than any of the rest of us. We're just a bunch of peons, and we don't know anything about what they are doing. The sad part about this whole thing is a lot of parents don't do anything about it.
You're right. Most parents, I hate to say this, they're using the schools as a babysitting service. And they're not checking about what's in the school books. They're not reviewing the books. They're not checking the syllabus. And they're just turning over their kids to these people, these vermin, for 6 hours a day. Now, I wish I had the patience to do homeschooling, but I just don't. It takes a special person for that. But if you can't do that, you have to watch out what's going on in these schools, even in so-called conservative areas like where I'm at. And regarding that Obama presentation, they wouldn't dare show that around here where I lived, because I heard about that.
Yeah.
But we confirmed a day before they weren't doing it in our schools. But I just would have kept my daughter out.
I have no
problem with that.
I know we sent a note to school with our girls telling them that they could not watch this, and then come to find out later on that they were taken in there and made to watch it, which kind of really upset both me and my wife. That hasn't happened since, and I know we were backed up by a lot of other parents, so they got an earful from a lot of people. But, that's the big problem, though, is a lot of people just, like you said, just send the kids to school. It's time when the parents don't have to deal with the kids because they're in school. They're doing the things that they do there. And a lot of the kids don't even say anything about what's being taught to them in school. I'll ask.
Well, I encourage parents to seek religious exemptions, because when you seek a religious exemption, you don't have to prove you belong to some church.
Yeah.
I mean, if I was ever questioned about why I don't want my kids getting the vaccinations, I would just tell them I belong to the Church of Common Sense.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm crazy enough as it is because of all the mercury-containing amalgams in my mouth, and they certainly don't need that stuff.
Yeah, that's for sure. I sure appreciate your phone call. I've got a break I've got to come to right now, so. But I appreciate the good information you gave me, and enjoy the weather while it's here. And
all right,
I hear
well, thanks
it's
so much.
To get
I'll see
cold
Michelle.
Again.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye. ConservativeNationMedia.com starts off the work week every Monday in a big way. It's Inside Tennessee with Dave Vance. But even if you're not from the volunteer state, the issues that affect Tennessee are spreading out all over America. Dave Vance brings his veterans' insight and most informative guests to Inside Tennessee every Monday, so make sure you check him out. Brought to you by the Tennessee Action Council. Inside Tennessee, Mondays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central on ConservativeNationMedia.com, where America always wins. Profiling. I've got a little short one here before my next hard break in several minutes. The one thing that the left in this country says we cannot do because it is racist. Heck, everything we do anymore is racist to them, but I digress. Here is my ideas on profiling, folks, and we have to do this. Was it wrong to say that it was Muslims who flew the planes into the World Trade Centers on 9/11? The left says yes. Truth says no, they did. Is it wrong for us to profile and say that Muslims and Islamists comprise most of the world's terrorists and terror actions? No, it isn't, because most are. If you have a Mexican shooting up a theater, is it wrong to list him as a Mexican? The left says yes, but no, it isn't. It's the truth. Is it wrong for a white man who shoots up a theater or a shopping mall be listed as a white man? According to the left, no, it isn't. Because it's the truth. That's the only place where they get that right. The only one of those three that I listed there that could be considered right by the media and the left in this country is the last one. They would and do list that one as an, quote, angry white man who had too much access to guns and weapons to be good for the nation. it was his fault for having those guns, and so therefore the government has to step in and stop this with gun control. But that the other two? No, the government endorses those groups because we cannot profile against them. My God, what would that would be wrong, and what good would come of it? Let me suggest something here. Maybe our safety and well-being? We will be right back after these messages.
Aren't you glad the so-called fairness doctrine doesn't apply here?
A boy born in Joplin, Missouri was fascinated by anything with wheels and a motor. The odds of him going on to fascinate millions with his talent? 1 in 260,000. The odds of this born racer having 157 career top 10 finishes in NASCAR? 1 in 125 billion. But every driver seeks the pinnacle of their achievements. The odds of him winning both the Daytona 500 and the Brickyard 400 in the same year? 1 in 195 million. The odds of a child being diagnosed with autism? 1 in 88. I'm NASCAR driver Jamie McMurray, and my niece has autism. Learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm LeVar Burton, and I'm proud to be a book person. How do I choose a book? Sometimes it's the cover, sometimes it's the title. I guess I'm pretty visual. If a book's really impressing me and the writing is really good, I will peek and see what the last paragraph is, because the endings of books should rock you. I am a book person, and if you're a book person too, read to a child and spark a lifetime of ambition. Join me at bookpeopleunite.org, because reading is fundamental. A public service announcement brought to you by Reading is Fundamental, Library of Congress, and the Ad Council.
Been looking for an online gathering place? You know, a familiar screen does everything you're used to, except give you grief for being a conservative? You've got to try the Tea Party community. At TPC, you'll know how everything works from the very first minute, and you'll probably find a lot of friends who are already there. Organize, communicate, share ideas, upcoming events, pictures, and videos. The Tea Party community connects and empowers like-minded, politically conservative people like you. Sign up today at teapartycommunity.com.
I finished that last segment talking about gun control and how the government is working their darndest to force that on us. I found an article on the Blaze of how New Jersey officials couldn't have been prepared for what a 9-year-old competition shooter had to say about the proposed gun control bill. And this was really great, because it seems this 9-year-old has more smarts than 90% of the people we have in Washington, D.C. She's speaking before the New Jersey Law and Public Safety Committee in Trenton, New Jersey on Thursday. 9-year-old competition shooter Cheyenne Roberts spoke in opposition to a proposed bill that would further limit magazine capacity to 10 rounds. In her speech, which earned thunderous applause from the audience, she presented the simplicity and common sense nature of the pro-gun argument in a way only a kid can. She said, quote, "I am not a gangbanger or domestic terrorist, as certain vocal supporter of this bill claimed 2 weeks ago in the Star Ledger," Roberts said. "This bill, if it becomes law, will severely impact me and millions of other gun owners." And she's 9-year-old now. The 9-year-old girl explained that she is a fourth grade honor roll student in competitive and a competitive shooter in multiple styles of numerous local, state, and national sponsors. She said, "I have worked and trained very hard to get to the level I am at, and if A-2006 becomes law, I will be forced to choose between giving up on a very great and promising future in a sport that I love or asking my dad to move to another state. I will not be giving up my sport, unquote. She said many of the firearms she hopes to use in the next level of her young competitive shooting career will be made illegal if the proposed gun control bill known as A-2006 becomes law. Everyone, she says, is upset about bad people doing bad things to others, but punishing the people who didn't do anything wrong is not the way to stop bad people, she added. If it wasn't against the law, I wouldn't have brought one of my competition guns with me today to show you it won't do anything unless someone touches it. Great point. I ask you, please, to keep the promise you made when you were elected by protecting people's rights and vote no on A-2006, she concluded. The crowd erupted in applause at the end of the speech. And there was a video there that would have had the audio. And, of course, I'm using my older computer to access the news and stuff that I that might come up during the show that isn't part of my setup arrangement here, and it didn't show the video, so that kind of sucked, but that's okay. Al Sharpton, one of the men in this country that sends shivers of disdain down the spines of many conservative Americans and traditional Americans because we know he does not do anything that is good for America or the Constitution, just like Barack Obama. But I was wondering this week, who sponsors this maniac of a man who is always in the face of people who stand up for Christianity and heterosexuality and marriage between a man and a woman only and against gay rights, against rights that only go in the direction of one culture over another? In other words, race baiting? These are all things this moronic man stands for and lives for, but I was surprised at who was on the list of advertisers for this man and who wasn't. Well, many on this list, I am not surprised to find there. Many, I was. Not on the list, Ford, Macintosh, conservative ideals. But those on the list, and there are some really big names here, AARP, no surprise here, Acura. This one surprised me. Aleve, Alka-Seltzer, Allstate Insurance, Ameritrade, Cadillac, Campbell Soups, Cancer Center Treatments of America, Cialis, Citibank, Courtyard Marriott, Crest, guess I'm going to have to change my toothpaste now, Delta Airlines, Discover Card, Duracell, ditto for my batteries, Eggland's Best Eggs, Geico, also ditto for my insurance company, Honda, HP, one of the reasons why I don't own one, Infiniti, Jeep, Kia, LegalZoom, Lexus, Liberty Mutual, LifeLock, that one surprised me, Metamucil, Microsoft Windows, one reason I use a Mac, Nationwide, Papa John's, oh, tell me it isn't true, Papa, Radio Shack, another one I go to now but won't from now on until they stop sponsoring him, Scope, I guess I now have to go to Listerine. Stamps.com, New York Times, no surprise here. USA Network, another one that is no surprise. Now, I got this from frontpagemagazine.com, and it shows a list much longer than the one I just read off to you. I left out another one that I liked but now won't go to, and this one is Sad Red Lobster. Oh, well. I found this article because it said it listed the TV sponsors of Al Sharpton, and it was a call to boycott them. Well, the idea is a good one. Take away the money that sponsors of the state terror advisors and race baiters like Al Sharpton, and they will pull their endorsements of such people and start looking for people and things that will get them money. America is in a war here, folks, and this war has many fronts to it, many that the people like me didn't even consider before doing this show and my blog and my videos. And since I started doing these things, I had to start looking up stuff to put on these and on these said outlets of news and truth. And I have been scouring over for years now. It seems that most Americans, even the ones who are so-called in the know, don't know most of what is going on here in America And that is not good for this country. Many of us don't know. And this is something that we have to start changing, or we will continue to listen to and use things that are sponsoring evil and bad things that do not do any good for this nation. I was saddened to see GEICO in this list because this has been my insurance company of choice since my boyhood days when my dad worked for the federal government with the Bureau of Indian Affairs, and our insurance company was then GEICO, which then stood for Government Employees Insurance Company. It was only for government employees and their families. I guess it's time to start changing things that I'm doing. I now use Colgate for my toothpaste, for instance. It wasn't on the list. Crest was. It seems that a lot of what I'm finding here are things that people in the media and people in our government don't want us to know. Why else would they be things that you have to really freaking look for to find? And things like that are stuff you'd never, ever find on ABC, CBS, NBC, CNN, MSNBC, any of them. Probably wouldn't even find it on Fox, for that matter. But these are things that we have to start doing, my caller who called up earlier said that you've got to keep in contact of what your kids are being taught in school, because if you don't, they're going to teach them things you don't want them to know. They're going to teach them things that are not good for the future of this nation. They will teach them. And a lot of the times these school districts that you hear of, like in Colorado where that professor is such a commie, Ward, I guess was his name, a couple of years ago made a big name for himself by being such a communist and teaching children things that teaching his students things that they should never have been taught. A lot of these guys and a lot of these teachers think they can get away with stuff like this. And a lot of the times they do. We have to start watching what our children are being taught. We have to start watching what our government is doing. We have to start watching what laws they are trying to force on us and what laws they are trying to take away from us and what rights they are trying to take away from us, because if we don't, we are going to lose in a big way. And the time will be coming when shows like this one will be completely taken off the air, shows like Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity and Mark Levin will be taken off the air because they will not do what the government wants them to do. And that is lie to the American people so that their agenda can be forced on everybody instead of the truth. It seems that if we don't start watching out for ourselves, nobody will. It's come down to that, folks. America is no longer the great country that it used to be because our politicians are making sure of that. The greatness can be brought back by the American people, though. All we have to do is make sure that it does. Don't you think? Okay.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
There are many sounds in your day-to-day life. There are sounds that wake you up. Sounds that make you smile. Sounds that energize you. And sounds that help you relax. But there are some sounds that can alert you to danger and can help save lives. Wireless emergency alerts, now on many mobile devices, use a unique sound and vibration to bring you information about severe weather events, amber alerts, or other emergencies in your area. With critical information from local sources you know and trust, you can be in the know, wherever you are. For more information, visit ready.gov/alerts. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
When I have an asthma attack, I feel scared. It's like tiny nails in the air poke my lungs. I start to cough. Sometimes my parents have to take me to the hospital.
Today, one out of 13 children suffer from some form of asthma, accounting for nearly one-third of all emergency room visits.
I feel like I'm choking. It's kind of like an elephant is on my chest. A little whistle sound comes out when I breathe.
But while your child may suffer from asthma, asthma doesn't have to make your child suffer. There are simple ways you can prevent your child's next attack. To learn more, log on to www.noattacks.org or call your doctor, because even one attack is one too many.
I feel like a fish with no water.
Brought to you by the EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
Indiana, one of the few states that runs its budget in the black, comes the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show. I'm Kathy Henners of Daily Roll Call to let you know that traditional Americans are still considered traitors to the Obama nation, and we are proud of our constitutional conservatism. Obama can't touch this. You're listening to Hour 2 of the show, and we are being broadcast to you through ConservativeNationMedia.com. And now, the voice of reason in this unreasonable world, Robert Garding.
Okay, welcome back to the second hour of the show with your host, Robert the Infidel Garding. As I wear the Infidel tag very proudly, as always, I wanted to start my second hour with a story that, if it wasn't the truth, would be a joke of the most insane ideal possible. But for the left, it's the truth, and they want to be held to, and they want this to be held to our highest ideals. Thanks to Barack Hussein Obama and his allies in Congress, the U.S. Armed Forces is now experiencing a rising tide of ethical lapses, cheating, lying, stealing, drug use, sexual harassment, and other moral problems. While Secretary of Defense Chuck Hagel and other liberals express shock that such things are happening, they are oblivious to the fact that they are the root cause of these problems. The Obama administration and the liberal teens and libertines in Congress opened the floodgates of immorality when they pushed through legislation of open homosexuals in the military. They're also purging the military of Christians, especially those who oppose the sin of sodomy. And now they're shocked to find that sexual assaults, for example, are skyrocketing in the military. Why wouldn't they? And why wouldn't they be? After all, they've legalized sodomy and are putting women into submarines and combat units. What do they expect? In fact, the majority of sexual assaults in the military involve man-on-man assaults. The latest atrocity comes from the form of a drag queen fundraising event at an Air Force base in Okinawa. To get more information on this, there are many articles on the Internet. There were just too many for me to find. Google Obama and Hagel's new drag queen armed forces. You will be amazed at what you find. Welcome to the second hour of the NWCR show this March the 15th of 2014. From the site called Religious Freedom Coalition came this one titled Sounding the Alarm on Silent Jihad, and it tells the truth on this one. There is broad bipartisan agreement that America is at risk, declared former House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence Chairman Pete Hoekstra via video on March 6, 2014, National Security Action Summit, or the NSAC. The Silent Jihad of Muslim Brotherhood-affiliated groups described by Hoekstra at National Harbor's Westin Hotel across the Potomac from Washington, D.C., should alarm all Americans. In comparison to the violent jihad of groups like Al-Qaeda, the MB strategy is very, very different. He explained during the panel that the Muslim Brotherhood, the Civilization Jihad, and its enablers, MB groups, are going to use our laws, our customs, our freedom of speech, and values we profess to be, become a cancer in the United States. MB supporters would seek initially a tolerance of Sharia law, and we've seen this happening. That begins the process of establishing Islamism here in the United States, a process evident in certain European neighborhoods where Sharia has become de facto law. Never forget the phrase, "The enemy of my enemy is my friend," he added when discussing cooperation across intra-Muslim sectarian divides, such as between a Sunni Al-Qaeda and Shiite Islam Republic of Iran. They ultimately share the same objective, which is the destruction of the West. Muslim Brotherhood, Islamic supremacism, or Islamism, is not a fringe ideology, but is actually the dynamic element of Islam today. And without understanding Sharia supremacism, is a very active ideology, according to the polls of Muslims worldwide, we will never be able to protect ourselves. You don't know Jack, Sharia expert Stephen Coughlin agreed on the panel. Without understanding this MB meta-narrative, it runs deep. The threat, Coughlin noted, concerning terms taken verbatim from the 7th century Pact of Umar, recently imposed by Syrian jihadist groups upon Christians. Yet Coughlin worried that the enemy knows us better than us in America, whose political and religious leaders have often no longer properly understand their constitution and Judeo-Christian faith, respectively. Subverting rule of law through narrative control is central to Islamic groups such as the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, which OIC, and an international grouping of 57, including Palestine, mostly majority Muslim states. If you do not control the narrative, no matter what position you take, you will lose. In particular, he who controls the First Amendment controls the Constitution, Coughlin warned in discussing the OIC's 2005 10-year strategic action plan with its call for combating Islamophobia via censorship. OIC would seek to interpret the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights, Article 20, ban on incitement as prohibiting speech to which recipients react violently. And this is the battered wife syndrome of, if you say that, I'm going to have to beat you up. Under the guise of sensitive speech, in other terms, anti-Sharia activist Deborah Weiss elaborated, the OIC will stifle speech critical of Islam. And they've been doing this, folks. They've been doing this since, oh, God, it's for so long now, I can't even remember when I first heard about it, but it's been a while. But it is actually, anything that is critical of Islam will be deemed incitement by the OIC, which holds itself out as a moderate but is actually an Islamic supremacist organization. The 2005-06 Danish Mohammed cartoon riots exemplified how the OIC would attribute speech's violent consequences to speakers, not perpetrators. Discussing jihadist child murders will bring an accusation of Islamophobia as a crime against humanity from individuals like Turkish Prime Minister Recep Tayyip Erdogan, E-R-D-O-G-A-N, Weiss explained at the subsequent event. The OIC has sought to encompass Islamic ideas not just individuals under the defamation protections functioning as the de facto blasphemy laws. Passage of resolutions to this effect at the United Nations and elsewhere risks such standard eventually becoming customary international law. In particular, the March 24, 2011 UN Human Rights Council Resolution 1618 passed with American support dropped the language of defamation of religion, but still contains problematic terms open to interpretation. The Obama administration's State Department has chosen to be the leader in implementing Resolution 1618 without any obligation, Weiss noted. Such efforts had their effect. European prohibitions of hate speech and other forms of expression effectively ban criticism of Islam. And what's going on here is we're getting things that are banning things that really don't have anything to do with this, but it could be construed by these people as being something that could end up in this sphere, and we need to really watch this because a filtering mechanism for jihadism appeared necessary he was at the CPAC decrying Khan's past denial of Muslim Brotherhood in America is absurd. The filtering mechanism for Islamism appeared necessary to Jasser, which was the man at CPAC, in light of Khan absent, which individuals like Fort Hood jihadist shooter Nigel Hassan would go undetected. The self-proclaimed Arizona hawk on immigration noted that most Muslim immigrants, many of them economic migrants, do not become by virtue of living in America Jeffersonian. Thus, four mosques Jasser helped establish later became Islamist, and Jasser's encounters with Muslim Congressman Keith Ellison revealed him as clearly an Islamist. There are not a lot of Zudi Jassers, Weiss bemoaned, but while speaking next to her, the question that has come out is, do their rights come from God or do they come from Islam, was one question that was suggested posing to Muslims, as well as asking what kind of law they would support when in the majority. And you know, this kind of thing just really gets to me because when it comes to the Muslim Brotherhood and Islamists they do not think they're always going to be in the minority. They really think that they're going to be the majority in America, in every other country in the world. And such questions were necessary to find pious Muslims on the side of liberty and not declare war on a quarter of the world population. To kick AIDS within the House of Islam with those who are with us, Jasser's NSAC video argued that it would form the head of the spear against Islamism. Stakes could not be higher. American freedom is an experiment, not the norm, across human history, Weiss at NSAC warned. And these folks are warning that we would be well-intentioned to heed what is going on. The Muslim Brotherhood is infiltrating the United States at a rate that most of us don't even know. Most of us don't even realize how into the United States the Muslim Brotherhood really is. And it's really scary if you go and research into it and find out what is going on and where these people are and how many mosques they have and how many neighborhoods that they have where their law is what is in effect there. Not American law, not the law that the police enforce, but their law. Right here in the United States, our friendly local pilot in command and GOP spokesman who was at CPAC last week calls himself a paleocon, and rightly so, since it's clear that anti-communism is in his DNA. His parents were friends with Joe McCarthy, Bill Buckley, and Whitaker Chambers, so what would you expect? There's no truth to the rumor that he has a dartboard with Alger Hiss's picture on it, but you can get your weekly dosage of old-school conservatism, right-wing politics, American history, and hanger flying on Radio Free America with Duke Brooks. Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, Central, 7 Central on Conservative Nation Media, where America always wins. Boy, I really overshot that section on that last one here. So I'm going to have to go right straight to my next break. And I'll be right back.
If you're wondering where Rush goes to do his show prep, you found it.
Whether you're on active duty, a veteran, or just admire American Armed Forces, there's no better place to get the widest variety of militaria than at Highlands Militaria. Highlands Militaria is one of America's premier distributors of Fox tactical gear and outdoor products. Veteran-owned and operated, Highlands Militaria offers new and used uniforms and insignia from World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and today. With an emphasis on airborne and special operations insignia, gear, collectibles, and uniforms. If you need to replace a cherished badge or unit patch, or just want to gear up for your next outdoor adventure, go to Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria, where you'll find the best supply of the military gear you need. Shipping is always free with one-day handling time, and your satisfaction is guaranteed. Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria, and thank you for your service.
This is Frank Beard of ZZ Top for Rad. If you're out partying and drinking, and we all know that happens sometimes, please don't get behind the wheel. Give up the keys to a designated driver. Please don't drink and drive.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Michael Behrman, inviting you to join me every Sunday at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Central on The Michael Behrman Show. Right here on conservativenationmedia.com. Yeah.
Okay, another from another internet show called The Real Side with Joe Messina comes this one titled Faith Breeds Foolishness. This one is about one of his shows, and he makes a great point here. Ever wonder, ever notice that when you strike up a conversation about faith or make faith remarks in front of those ignorant to faith that they either chuckle or make some kind of snide remark? No, it doesn't always happen, but most of the time it will. You see, every Friday on his show, this is Joe Messina, he does a segment called Faith Fridays, where he speaks about issues of various faiths from what they believe on how they on what they believe how they operate. It's been a regular thing for almost 3 years now and is a listener favorite. He brings in experts and people practicing that religion. And, you know, he says he can talk about Buddhists, spiritualists, Pastafarians, and even Jew and Muslims with little or no blowback. But if he even mentions that a Christian has been persecuted or make a comment about what atheists have to look forward to after death, Twitter lights up like he's stuck these guys with a red-hot poker in the eye. One particular Friday, he covered the story about a lesbian couple who made their debut, the lesbian couple who made their debut on a popular Disney Channel show. He stated that there was no warning, no show teasers, nothing to let his parents know that it was coming. And in his opinion, and mine too, that was the wrong thing for Disney to do. Many religious parents who don't approve of that lifestyle were blindsided by this kind of thing all the time through other avenues with the Disney Channel, because they have always had a tradition of values in family shows. Religious parents were lulled into a false sense of security when that changed. Well, you would have thought I'd ask people to cut to skin cats live in the town square, he said. Between the Disney story and our tweet asking for people to call in with their religious stories, and the phones lit up like never before. The and producer Tammy took about 30 calls in 30 or so minutes. Most said they wanted to talk about Christian bullying or tell their story. The games had begun. People said they were calling in from all over the world, laying out stories to get them on the air to share their religious epiphany. Outrage, confusion, you name it. Nearly every one of them was a prank call. Sometime after around the fifth caller, I made a statement that this is exactly how the left operates. For some reason, it seems they cannot disagree in conversation without being nasty and resorting to disrupting the flow of conversation. It's the equivalent of tipping the game board over when you realize you're losing and have no chance of winning. The next caller tried to call me on the carpet and asked me, and this is Joe Messina now, he said, the caller tried to call him on the carpet and ask him why he thought all these calls were coming in from left-leaning people, and that he said this one was easy, and he said he doesn't have a high IQ. It's simply because he has yet to hear any right-wing conservatives calling liberal shows to tell them how effing stupid they are for believing in God, or that Christians don't have to follow Christ to be Christians, or that Christians don't have to read the Bible to be Christians. So I can be a heart surgeon by studying computer science, or maybe a plumber by studying auto mechanics. Makes sense to me. And I have yet to hear right-wing conservatives simply calling with the intent purpose to disrupt a liberal show. Why point a finger at the left? Because they have great role models and examples by which to learn from. Pelosi, Reid, Wiener, Jackson, Lee, Rangel. Should I go on? They've taken name-calling and distraction techniques to a new high. And yes, I heard over and over again how Christians were bullies and stupid for believing in a higher being. These fools only come out in force when he discusses faith. When he listens to the left-leaning radio shows, as he does to get ready for his show, he is yet to hear the right do the things that were done to him and others like him on his show this last Friday. People made up stories, he said. I mean, lied to get on and then start with the foul language or playing loud, nasty music during the call. How mature, how enlightened, how proud they must feel. Some called in to show me they could make fun of Jesus to my face. Unlike other hosts, and to the irritation of some of my listeners, he let them go on until they used foul language and then cut them off. He wanted to people to hear the default fallback position of the left, and he got it. Why can't the left have an open and non-foul-mouthed, spoiled-brat response when they start losing an argument? It's almost like they never grew up, or they feel like they are owed something. And anyone who disagrees with them gives them license to act mature and stupid. Hey, you on the left who subscribe to these tactics, why don't you take that education you received on wasted taxpayer money and actually do something good? I have a real open, non-juvenile adult conversation with someone on the right. Get an idea about how they think as a person, not just talking points. And if you really believe you're right, try to sway them with good conversation. Or is that too much for you to do? I guess if you're using Harry Reid's playbook as your guide, then you are right on. Keep up the good work. Friday's show proved him to be 100% correct. Most young, hard left progressives have nothing to fight but with nasty conversation and demeaning words. And then he ended it by saying, America, these people vote. You better wake up or lose your country. Let me repeat that last line for you who don't believe the people are out to destroy this country. These people vote. Better wake up or lose your country. And this story that I had found on this really caught my attention, because even in the conservative state that I live in, where a lot of the people that I have access to are Christians, I still get it every once in a while when people will give me a funny look when they find out that I believe in Jesus Christ. They will give me a dirty look if they believe that I don't believe as they do. It's never a question saying, why do you believe this way? Do you want to know why I believe the way I do? It's never this. It's always goes right straight to the throat, name calling, doing the things that if it was done to them, they would raise all kinds of bloody heck about and get away with it. You know how the left has always been able to get away with that. They'll name call somebody and get away with it. But when it goes the other way, it's wrong. It has to stop. This can't be done. And most of us would sit back and look at that and say, you can't have it both ways, but they do. They have been getting it both ways for generations now. Heck, even longer than that, for that matter. And it doesn't seem to matter when we start telling them they can't get away with this, they can't do it both ways. They just look at us with that stupid look in their face and say, well, I've been doing it for quite a while now, and I've gotten away with it for quite a while now. Don't tell me I can't. We will be right back. These messages. One of the worst nightmares that can befall an American today is identity theft. If it happens to you, it may take months or even longer to recover from it, if you can recover at all. Don't let it happen to you. Protect yourself in advance. Sign up with LifeLock. LifeLock is a lot more than just your Standard Credit Monitoring Service. LifeLock helps to protect your personal information using a combination of data surveillance techniques and outstanding member service 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and 365 days a year. There's really nothing that comes close to LifeLock. To protect your identity with LifeLock and get 10% off their great service, go to conservativenationmedia.com and click on the LifeLock banner. Network may not cover all transactions and the scope may vary. That's conservativenationmedia.com and click on the LifeLock banner. You'll be very glad that you did.
Well, I finally did it. I opened a 401k.
What? Why? Just wait for the inheritance. We've definitely got a rich uncle somewhere. We're one call away from the winner's circle at the Derby, dinners with multiple forks, a vacation home in the country, using summer as a verb.
You don't actually think that, do you?
When it comes to financial stability, don't get left behind. Get tools and tips for saving at feedthepig.org. This message brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs, the Delaware Society of CPAs, and the Ad Council.
Molon LeVay Challenge Coins and Wares. Similar to challenge coins used by various military units, these MLCCW coins are ideal for anyone that champions the right to keep and bear arms by highlighting the Second Amendment and the Greek phrase Molon LeVay, which translated means come and take them. Come check out our pro-freedom, pro-liberty, and pro-Second Amendment coins and shirts at MLCCW.com. That's MLCCW.com.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
I don't know how to talk like a parent. Don't make me come back there. You see what I mean? It's pretty awful. Try it again. Don't make me come back there. Now that's pretty good. That one kind of sounded like my dad. Weird.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to put up with you. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Okay, I have been following this story on the Malaysian jetliner that disappeared about a week ago, and I have found some interesting things about this that hasn't really hit the news too much. But it seems that we have some things going. It says just that this jetliner that disappeared about a week ago now has actually spawned all kinds of conspiracy theories about what has happened to it. Some are really unique. Others are well predictable, like this one. The U.S. did it. An influential Iranian lawmaker Tuesday called the entire episode a form of psychological warfare by the United States to sabotage the relationship between Iran and China and Southeast Asia. My idea on this one, we don't need to get involved in that. They do a fine job without our help, for crying out loud. But I digress. Another one was that it was hijacked by terrorists. The pilot didn't send a distress signal, and there were Iranians on board the plane, but international authorities don't believe the Iranian nationals were involved in terrorism. And this was from the Daily Beast, New York Times, TRNS News. Another one is Malaysia shot it down. Okay. In China, some bloggers have suggested that the Malaysian military mistakenly shot down the plane after it abruptly changed course and then covered up their action after realizing it made a mistake. Then here's the best one of them all, folks. Stuck in the new Bermuda Triangle. Malaysian politician Nizar Jamaluddin put this idea out in the universe with a controversial tweet for which he apologized for not long after hitting the send button. TRNS News added, so he bloody should. Then there's this one. The plane landed safely and is being hidden in a secret location, possibly North Korea, also terrorism-related, bolstered by reports that some missing passengers' cell phones are still ringing when called. I started reading on these things, and it just really, it's something that I guess if you think about it is most of this is very predictable, I would guess, especially the one about the U.S. doing it. Of course, that one's going to show up. I had an article here that talked about something about the airplane, and I had it open when I first started the show, and it's disappeared on me. And now, oh, there it is. I think, anyway. Yeah, a Malaysian government official say that it's conclusive now that the missing plane was hijacked. And it's been updated, and the government says the claim is not true. But this whole thing, one of these days they're going to find it. I myself think that from everything that they've come up with on this, the communication stuff inside the plane has been messed with, and I think it was done by people on the plane. So it could be the plane is safely landed somewhere. Have no idea, but I guess we'll find out sooner or later on that one, I suppose. I keep coming back to these two. The U.S. did it, and it is stuck in the new Bermuda Triangle. It amazes me the ideas that some people will come up with when it comes to thinking of conspiracy theories about things. Don't you just love those conspiracy theorists? They really get inventive at times, don't they? And when they do, it becomes total entertainment for everyone except for the people involved and their families. And that's where this whole thing needs to stop. These conspiracy theorists who will say something like the U.S. did it, or Malaysia shot it down, or it's stuck in the new Bermuda Triangle, or the plane landed safely and is being hidden. They need to just keep their mouths shut until the plane is found and we find out what really happened. None of this is doing anybody any good. None of this is doing the families of the people who were on that plane any good. And it amazes me that all of this kind of thing is going on. And in the chat room it says, China has announced to the world that it agrees with Russia's invasion of Crimea in Ukraine. Well, I guess to me, all this stuff that is going on with the planes hijacking and all this stuff in Crimea, we need to start looking at this in a little bit different way now, because I've been wondering about this for a week or so now. With all of this attention on other things, Obama's been out of the news. What is he doing? What is his ideas leading him to do next to the United States now that he's not in the limelight and everybody's paying attention to him? What is he and his wife up to? seems like every time that we don't pay attention to him, he starts doing something stupid or something treasonistic against the United States to get the attention back on him, or maybe he's just doing things like that during times like this because he knows he can get away with it because nobody's watching him. Well, I am. And the sad part about that is that even though I am watching him, I'm not finding anything because nobody's reporting anything. And that in itself, to me, is a very scary thing. Don't you think? ConservativeNationMedia.com is growing, and we couldn't think of a better way to expand our lineup than to give our very own Bing Fisher his very own show. Uncle Bing Fisher brings his engineer's insight and love of America to American by Design Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 Central on ConservativeNationMedia.com, and that's, I'm pretty sure on this, right after, hello, Kathy, right after the Michael, his name just completely went up. The old Soldiers of Patriotism is back on Sunday evenings now, and he comes on right before American by Design, Michael Berryman, the old Soldier of Patriotism, from 6 to 8. He comes on after Bing. So we have American by Design with Bing Fisher. It's Sundays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 Central on ConservativeNationMedia.com, where America always wins. And that's tomorrow night. So one has to wonder about people of Representative Sheila Jackson Lee's district in the great state of Texas, if she's the best option for representing them at the federal level. Well, I can only shake my head. Sometimes people make flip remarks or simply round the numbers for simplicity's sake, but this probably isn't the case here. Saying the Constitution is some 400 years old is more than a rounding error, and give Representative Lee's propensity for foot and mouth, it's probably more likely one of those instances. We'll see how or if she attempts to fix this one, and I haven't heard anything on that one yet. Maybe I should offer a good thanks to the distinguished members of the majority, the Republicans, and my charity chairman, and others for giving us an opportunity to have a deliberate constitutional discussion that reinforces the sanctity of this nation and how well it is, and that we have lasted some 400 years operating under the Constitution that clearly defines what is constitutional and what is not. And those were her words. And you can watch her own words I think I found it on the Blaze Network. In the meantime, check your math and leave me a comment. Exactly how old is the Constitution? It's definitely not 400 years old. I guarantee you that. And at the rate we're going, it probably never will be. We will be right back for the final segment of the show after these messages. And I'm glad to see Kathy of Daily Roll Call here in the chat room. It's always a lot of fun having people that I always like to listen to show up here.
If you love America, you're among friends here.
What does it take to be the leader in production systems technology? To be the one company that solves production problems at any plant, for any product, and with any technology? It takes a 30-year record of success. It takes total mastery of complex technologies with a history of delivering success every time without fail. Only one company can claim that high ground in manufacturing line optimization, data automation, and systems integration. and that's Philadelphia Control Systems. In factories worldwide, Philadelphia Control Systems programs, software, and engineering solutions deliver optimal performance and output flow with a record that can't be matched. Any plant, any product, any technology. Philadelphia Control Systems, the leader in production automation since 1982. 800-335-9811. PCS for automation.com. That's PCS, the number 4, automation.com.
Adopting a new pet is a rewarding experience. And shelter pets make super pets. Your new best friend will steal your heart, bring you happiness, and enrich your life for years to come. You can make a difference in the life of an animal. Adopt and bring home a shelter pet today. To find out more, visit theshelterpetproject.org. This message has been brought to you by the Humane Society of the United States, Maddie's Fund, and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Dave Vance inviting you to join me every Monday night for Inside Tennessee on conservativenationmedia.com. Even if you're not from the volunteer state, you'll want to know what's happening because one day it will affect you. Every week you'll hear interviews with experts, legislators, and citizens who are fed up and making a stand. So join us every Monday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central Time for Inside Tennessee on conservativenationmedia.com.
And finally, we here at the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show want to leave you with our weekly thought of the day. It seems that about 47% or more of the people here in America have forgotten that America was founded to get away from oppressive government, government that could do anything it wanted, take a person from the cradle and live their lives for them till they die, and then help the family bury them, all in the name of less freedoms and more taxes to keep the leaders free from reprisals and free from consequences that, so that they could do anything that they damn well please to the people without any fear of reprisals. Under Barack Hussein Obama, we have returned to that type of government, all in the guise of letting the government do more for us so we have to do less except to work. And in the work, we have to work harder for less money to live on, yet having to pay the government more money for them to spend freely with no chance of audit or stoppage. Then along comes the Tea Party. You remember the original one that set this country on its historic course in gaining her freedom from the oppressive government and the British monarch. And throughout our history, we have had great men warn us of a return to this type of government, all in the guise of helping people. How people could forget that the government has no money until it gets money from the common people, you know, you and I. Benjamin Franklin once said that America will succeed until the time comes when people realize they can live fine off the government dole without working. When more people take than we have working to pay taxes, that is the end. Today we are close to that tipping point, if not over it, and Obama is proud of his achievements on this point, while his wife is finally, for the first time in her life, proud of America. Always thought that the President and the First Lady were always supposed to be proud of this country, didn't you? The only reason she is now supposedly proud of this country is because she is now famous because of this country. She is the most powerful woman in this country and can... She can now dictate to all us peons, and make no mistake here, that is what her and her husband think of all of us, that we can, what we can and cannot do from what we eat and how we raise our children. And that is not how this country was founded. This country has become a nation of lazy people who would rather watch this country go down the proverbial toilet than work for an honest day wages and take care of themselves. Thank God for the conservatives out here who still work for a living. It is because of people who work for a living and pay taxes that this country is even showing a pulse right now. And if we, the people, do not stop and get this government back in shape and vote all the bums out of office, will not do what the Constitution mandates they do, then we will continue down this slippery slope into oblivion until there is nothing left. And sadly, folks, no matter what the spin out of Washington is or the spin from our so-called media is, we are closer to that point than at any time in our short history. Yes, even at that point, when we first started the revolution, when we were nothing but 13 colonies with a desire to be free, we were more free then, before winning our freedom from the King of England, than we are today under the dictator in Washington, D.C., and his henchmen that are making new laws for us to suffer under while they live high off the hog, taking vacations monthly and spending billions of dollars for fun and frivolity daily on our dime, all the while telling us that we aren't doing things right. If we didn't have our cell phones, we could afford the Affordable Care Act. But if we let them get away with that, next will come our televisions, then our cars, which they are already trying to get rid of, folks, guns and houses. Yes, folks, houses, because they use too much electricity to heat and light up at night. Obama and his minions want nothing more, and than to send us back to the Dark Ages with no one to depend on but him and the people who work for him. And I got a phone call, and I don't like answering these, but it might be somebody that I am waiting for. Hello? You there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, I just came in just now. I was about to type something in the chat room. What's your solution that can solve America's problems within about a year or two?
Well, I've essentially gave my solution here. What we need to do is to vote all these people out of office who will not follow the Constitution. We need to vote them out of office because they are not doing what the Constitution tells them to do. And as long as we don't vote them out of office, then we aren't doing what needs to be done to save this nation. And it's just as simple as that. Something that really needs to be done, and as long as the people won't find the backbone to do it or won't do it and instead will just vote on who they think will be the best for the nation instead of looking it up and finding out what these people actually stand for, then we will continue to go down this road to oblivion. And sadly, that is the only solution. We have to start researching who these people are, what they believe in, what they stand for, before we vote them into office. And that's the way that we need to do it. The only thing I can ask about this on this here is that, you know, Obama and his minions want nothing more than to send us back to the Dark Ages with no one to depend on but him and the people who work for him, his cabinet, as they live like kings and we the people live in caves. Mark my words here, Obama will not be happy until he has that kind of power over us. Look at the things he has instituted since he became king, president, and you will see a pattern there leading right to where I just talked about. You scared yet? We need to vote these people out of office. That is the only thing that will save this nation from what is coming. And believe me, something bad is coming if we don't do something about it. On Sundays, we have the return of Soldier of Patriotism with the name of the Michael Berryman Show. And also on Sundays is American by Design with Uncle Bing Fisher. These two shows fill our Sundays with great information and stuff we need to continue the fight to save this great nation. These shows on Sunday evening starting at 4 p.m. Eastern to 6 for the Michael Berryman Show, and which is the old Soldier of Patriotism. And from 6 to 8 for our Uncle Bing Fisher, American by Design, great radio, that is tomorrow night. On Monday, we have Inside Tennessee with Dave Vance. Dave is a great way to start off the week with his Veterans Insight and most informative guests to bring you another great show to listen to on Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central. Tuesdays, we have Grit and Grace Radio Show with Jennifer Meadows. She has been carrying the conservative message on the net for years now, and she's here on conservativenationmedia.com. Right now, Tuesdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 Central, she might be changing the time on that one, and she also has, I think, a new show starting called Graceland, or she might be changing the name of her show to Graceland. On Wednesdays, we have our leader with the great radio voice, Duke Brooks, with his radio show, Radio Free America. Our man Duke is this week took his hanger flying right-wing politics and great American history and has given it to us on Conservative Nation Media and treated us with a great show. Give a listen if you haven't already. On Thursdays, it's the Liberty and Constitution Community with Matthew Opalisky. His expertise in the Constitution is a great way to get the information to continue the fight for this country as the war for it is being waged against us daily. It airs on Thursdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central. And Saturdays, you are treated to my show, the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show, with yours truly, The Infidel, with the voice of reason in this unreasonable world. All this on conservativenationmedia.com, where America wins always. And yes, we will win if we do what is needed. And I wish to take this time to thank Kathy Hinners for doing the intros for me on my show. Kudos to you, Kathy. We miss you here at CNM. And as always, I do not accept the world as I see it, but as God meant it to be. I am determined to return us to the recipe that made America great. I choose not to sit on my couch and complain as I watch things happen, but be an active participant in restoring our constitutional republic. The left does not anger me. I will not give them that kind of power over me. We must take responsibility for our freedoms. We must secure liberty by changing reality and promoting our attitudes and beliefs. We must rid ourselves of self-defeating attitudes and behaviors and replace them with constructive ones. We must actively change culture. That is where liberals have it over us for now. Until then, God bless us all. And God bless you all.